Okay, last week we were discussing the halachos of saying Magen Avos after davening. Everyone hopefully kept in the minyanim, if you have minyanim, those of you who are zochet to have minyanim. So if you're able to, if you took note of what took place in your house minyan, so we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. So we said that Magen Avos, Bracha Mein Sheva, was instituted in order to deal with the people who were coming late, either to offer them an opportunity, a way to be yotzei through Magen Avos, or to stall and buy time so that they'd be able to catch up in the Shmoneh Esrei. We're going to take a look. We are in Simin Reish Samaches in the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to take a look at Sif Yud right now. Okay, Reish Samaches, Sif Yud. Ein Omrim, right? People have the spot. We got it. Noam, good to see you. You have the spot there? Okay, excellent. All the way from Manhattan. Excellent. Okay. Ein Omrim Bracha Me'ein Sheva Bebeis Chasonim Va'avelim. We don't say the Bracha Me'ein Sheva, Magen Avos, Bebeis Chasanim, in the house of a Chasin, house of Avelim, Deleika Taima, Dema'achim Lavo She'e Nizokin. Now, this is not a special din. You're already thinking, like, wait a second. Chasin, there's a lot of simcha. Maybe it's not appropriate. Bisman simcha, an ovel, it's a zman of sadness. Maybe it's not appropriate. There's nothing to do with that. These are just two examples, classic examples of pop-up minyanim, non-regular minyanim. So we don't say the bracha mein sheva. Why not? Shulchan Aruch tells you why. Deleika taima dema'achin lavo she'e nizokin. Generally, when you have a minyan in a Beis Chasanim, so you wait until everyone's there and then you start. You know, it's not open to the public, and it's a minyan mitzumtzum of 10 people, 11 people, 12 people. So when you have the people, you go. So the whole original takana was only for situations where people would be coming late and we want to buy time for them. The minyan's out in the field. We don't want them to get stuck in the field. But here we're having a minyan, the Beis Chasanim, Beis Avilim, so there is no din. This is nowadays, it's a known halacha, because when all of our minyanim in backyards and in the street are all popping up, so this was a question that needed to be addressed. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah, because the way that we're going to say this halacha is, permanent minyanim say Magen Avos, temporary minyanim don't say Magen Avos. Now the question is, how do you define what's temporary and what's permanent? So take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah weighs in on the issue. Chaf Dalet, Perish, Kish Mispalim Bebeisam Beminyan, the Koshkin Osim Shmispalim Leprakim Beminyan Bebayis, Aval, Kishiyesh Kfius Al Ezi Yomim. But if you have a Kfius of a few days, Viyesh Sefer Torah Etzlam, and they have a Sefer Torah, so like in the Yerid, when they used to go and travel, and apparently they would set up shop someplace there, and they'd have a Sefer Torah, and they'd have. So then that's Doma Lebeis HaKnesses Kavua, the Omrim. So according to the Mishnah Berurah, there are two criteria. Criteria number one, it needs to be a minyan that they davened in a kfiyas of a few days. Now, I don't know how many of you have the Makoro sheet, so I will, I think I sent it out, but I don't remember exactly, so I'm going to pull it up for us very quickly here, if I can. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Let me do a share screen here. Here we go. Okay. See the screen? Okay, excellent. So in Yud Beis, do you see my mouse, by the way, when I'm like moving my mouse in a circle here? Oh, okay, great. So Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Ein Omer Mosa El B'minyan Kavua. Aval B'makum She'ein Mispalim Basara El Ba'akroi. You're davening Ba'akroi. Now he says, Ein Mispalim Basara. He sounds like it doesn't have a minyan. B'makum She'ein Mispalim Basara. Oh, sorry. When you're davening with a minyan, but it's akroi, for instance, in a base chasson or a base ovel, ein omer mosa. But im kavu makom lispal el basara eiz shvuos kemo biyuridim yesh la omra. So it's mamish the exact same lashon, except with even that line kemo biyuridim, except with a very important change, and that is. Shvuos is as opposed to Yomim. I mean, the I believe that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was first. So it's the Mishabura is the one who apparently switched it from Shvuos to Yomim. But he says a kfiyus of a few weeks. So we have a little bit of a debate here. How much of a kfiyus do you need in order for it to become a kfiyus? Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says you have to daven there for a few weeks. Mishabura says you have to daven there for a few days. So Lemaisa, what do we hold? So Rav Chaim Kanievsky was asked about a vacation spot, a place where people, let's say, they go just for a week. You know, I don't know. There's this place in Switzerland called Davos that a lot of Israelis go to. Davos. And they go just, it's not used during the year. And they go for a week in the summer. So is that considered a minyan kavua? They're there for a few days. They might even be there for all of Bein Hazmanim. So, and they want to make a shul there just for this vacation period. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is paskin not to say Magen Avos. Oh, but they're there for a few days. They have a Sefer Torah. He said, yeah, but it's not permanent. The Riva Vos Ephraim was very interesting. He asked about a cruise ship. If you're on a cruise ship for a couple of days and you make a minyan there and you have a Sefer Torah. He also said that by definition, it's not kavua. So now right away, you're going to jump in. Simcha is going to jump in and say, wait a second. But the Mishnah Berurah said a couple of days and a Sefer Torah. So the poskim here, it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is just giving us an idea. As a posek, we have to be able to have a chush of, it's not just a few days and a Sefer Torah. That was an example of what gives something a kfiyus. And I'll give you an amazing, I think a great example. Actually, you know, we'll get there in a minute. Let's just talk about the second criteria of the Mishnah Berurah. And that is...
I was going to jump in with something else. I was distracted.
Please, go ahead.
You mentioned going to Switzerland. I was thinking he let them go and leave Eretz Yisrael. Rav Asher Weiss said for 25 years after Tishrav, he would go to Switzerland, and he was justified in leaving Eretz Yisrael because he would always give shir.
As opposed to now, you mean? Or just in general?
Right. He said this year he's not going. Uh-huh. This year he's not going. But right. He said he was justified because he would give shir. Okay.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Officially, you're not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael unless it's for Parnassah. For Talmud Torah, to find an Isha, that's officially officially what you're supposed to do. Okay.
Or mitzvah.
Right. I always bring it up. I'm not trying to get controversial here. I'm just going to throw it out there because it's an interesting thing to think about. We always have this battle about how to define, you know, who's a Zionist and who is connected to Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting that a lot of the many members of the Dati Lumi community run very quickly to Europe during vacation time. And there are a lot of people who are considered very, very Haredi, who, even if they had the finances to do it, won't leave Eretz Yisrael. I have Haredi cousins who will not leave Eretz Yisrael for no reason. They will not leave Eretz Yisrael. So it's always just interesting, you know, how we define what's considered connected to the country, what's not considered connected to the country. If you don't fly a flag, but you won't leave, so that means you're not Zionistic. If you fly a flag, but you leave every vacation, so you're more Zionistic, you're less Zionistic. It's an interesting perspective that you're reminding me of when you bring that up, Simcha. Okay. Anyway, what about if there is a Sefer Torah? So that's the other criteria that the Mishnah Berurah quotes: Sefer Torah. So the Prima Gadim writes that also this idea of a Sefer Torah is only needed if we're talking about a minyan that only has a kfiyas for a few days. Meaning, if you only have a kfiyas of a few days and you have a Sefer Torah, so that might be enough to push you over to be considered kavua. But the Prima Gadim says, if you're a real kavua minyan, you meet all the time, but you don't have a Sefer Torah, you still say Magen Avos. And this is highlighting the nekuda I was just making a second ago, which was that it's not an ironclad black and white question. Sefer Torah and a few days, boom, you're kavua. No Sefer Torah, not a few days, you're not kavua. The poskim have to get a chush of what's considered kavua, what's not considered kavua. And therefore, if you meet all the time, but you happen to not have a Sefer Torah, you might still be kavua. And I'll give you the great Nafkamina case. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked about the Friday night minyan. Okay, I know where I grew up in Teaneck, there were a few areas in town where they had, in someone's house, you know, the people who lived a little bit further away from shul, and this is before there were, you know, shuls every three blocks, So people who live a little further away, they had a minyan in someone's house every single Friday night. Shabbos morning, they all walk to the shul, obviously, for davening and for Kriyas HaTorah. But Friday night, they always, and for Minchan Shabbos afternoon. But Friday night, they always daven in someone's house. So Rav Moshe was asked about that situation. Rav Moshe paskind that they should say Magen Avos. Why? They don't have a kfiyas of a few days. It's once a week. And they don't have a Sefer Torah there. And the answer is because that's considered kavua. Because you meet there every single week. There's another very interesting shita in this discussion, and that is regarding Yerushalayim. Rav Tukachinsky writes in his Luach that in Yerushalayim, even if there's no minyan kavua, even if there's no Sefer Torah, you still say Magen Avos if you're in Yerushalayim. And he says that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim makes the minyan have a kfiyas of a minyan. Now, why does Kedusha make it have a kfiyas? He says, because when Jews come together in Yerushalayim to daven, if it's Yerushalayim, Kedusha of Yerushalayim, that's going to give it the status like a Beis Knesses. And this is actually not the only area where the Shita comes up. Because of this, there are many people who are Noeg that they put their head down for Tachnun when they're davening in Yerushalayim, even if there's no Sefer Torah. In general, even though this itself is a debate, in general, the standard psak is you only put your head down for Tachnun if there's a Sefer Torah in the room. If there's no Sefer Torah in the room, you don't put your head down. But in Yerushalayim, many of the Minog, they put their head down whether there's a Sefer Torah or not. Why? The same Sfara. That there's something about davening in Yerushalayim which gives a kfiyas, it makes it like a Beis Knesses. Now, there is this debate between Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv, if that means all of Yerushalayim, even the modern city of Yerushalayim, or does that only mean the old city has that Kedusha? You know, Kedusha Sachomos. Is it only in Yerushalayim? But be that as it may, that is another shita that we should be aware of. Lamaisa, if you're in a minyan and they say Magen Avos, and it's not really a kavua minyan, you know, you're out, I don't know, you go away for the weekend with 10 guys, and you know, you go skiing someplace, and you rent an apartment, and you're making a minyan, so you don't say Magen Avos. Let's say the chazan starts belting out Magen Avos, so you don't have to correct him. There are shitas that hold that everywhere we do it, whether it's kavua or not. That's not the way we paskin. Mishnah Berurah brings it down in Chaf Hei. If you read Chaf Hei, you'll see he's not 100% sold on it. Makom in Chaf Hei in the Mishnah Berurah, Makom Shenoagin LaOmra, in a place where they're noeg to say it, even when there's not a kavua minion, still Ein Limchos Biyadam. The Magen Avraham says that. The Prima Gadam's not sure. Okay, but there is a sheet to rely upon. So in general, we like to know halacha well so that we can do things as lechatchila as possible. But we also like to know halacha well to know when there are other shitas so that we don't have to attack people when they're not doing something, if they're not doing, now if they want you to.
You answer amen.
What was that? Lechora you can answer amen, yes.
But you answer amen.
Lechora you can. He quotes here from the Magen Avraham, even though he himself says, oh, it might be a suffek brachos levatola, but lemaisa, it's not only the Magen Avraham. There's a Beni Shchai like this. There are a bunch like that. So I would imagine that there's what to be somechan. Okay, very interesting, this next halacha, Yud Beis, if you take a look at Sif Yud Beis, Ein ledaber b'shasha omrim v'yechulu, v'lo b'shasha omrim shliach tzibur bracha me'ein sheva. It's funny, I would think, you know, you shouldn't talk ever during davening. But the Shulchan Aruch goes out of his way to tell you, you should not speak during v'yechulu, and you should not speak during bracha me'ein sheva. And it's just an interesting Mishnah Berurah here. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Sefer Chassidim. Now, the Sefer Chassidim was written by Rabbi Yudah HaChassid. I think we've talked about this before. Rabbi Yudah HaChassid lived in the early 1200s. He was one of the Chassidei Ashkenaz. And the Chassidei Ashkenaz, the pious men of Ashkenaz, were known for their extreme piety. It could be that when the Masiel Shesharim writes that in order to get tshuva, you don't need to roll around in the snow, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to self-affliction. It's not what Hashem wants from us. It could be he's referring to the Chassidei Ashkenaz. Okay, they were very, very frum, very, very pious, and the Sefer, which is like the textbook for the Chassidei Ashkenaz, Sefer Chassidim is a fascinating Sefer. I happen to be a big fan of it. I think I have it right here on my shelf right here. It's a fascinating sefer. So there have been a few things from the Sefer Chassidim that have made their way into normative halacha. Probably one of the famous things, it's not in the Sefer Chassidim itself, it's actually in the Tzava of Rebbe Yehuda Chassid. It's in the will of Rebbe Yehuda Chassid, the author of Sefer Chassidim, but it's printed in the beginning of the Sefer Chassidim. That's, he writes in there that you shouldn't marry someone who has the same, whose mother has the same name as your mother. Okay, that, people have heard that thing. So that thing, it's not really normative halacha. There's no Gemara like that. It's Rebbe Yehuda Chassid. It's very interesting things, like not to eat deer at a wedding. Don't eat, you know, shouldn't be eating deer at a wedding. Very interesting things. A lot of them are Api Kabbalah. So it's interesting how certain things in the Sefer Chassidim got accepted into halacha and other things didn't. Like, I don't know if anyone's familiar with the idea of not to take a haircut or shave on Rosh Chodesh. Quoted an idea not to take a haircut or shave on Rosh Chodesh in general. So that's also from the Sefer Chassidim. It's not a Gemara. It's not a... Anyway, so it's I'm telling you all this background because I'm wondering if that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes it b'shem the Tor, b'shem the Sefer Chassidim. Meaning he maybe I might be reading too much into this, but maybe he wouldn't quote the Sefer Chassidim on his own because the Sefer Chassidim is not a normative psak sefer. But if the Tor brings it down already, so then it's fair game to quote it because the Tor quotes it. Anyway. Very interesting thing here, and this is a nice taste of the Sefer Chassidim, because Sefer Chassidim is filled with things like this. Maisa b'chassid echad, shiro l'chassid acher b'moso, b'chalom. A chassid once had a dream, and in his dream, he saw another chassid, a friend of his, who was no longer b'chaim, upanov marikos, and his face was green, or his face, he looked very pale, he didn't look good. So amar lo lama panach marikos. You know, so he said to him in the dream, what's wrong? Why is your face like, why do you look like that? So Amar lo, mipnei sha'isi medaber b'yachulu, b'shosha yitzibur omer magen avos b'yizgada. The reason I look like this in Shemayim is because I used to speak during magen avos and during the b'yachulu and the kaddish after the davening. So it's interesting that the ad kan l'shono. So it's interesting that he quotes this, but he's really just giving you the background, because if you look at the Be'er HaGola, who is the footnotes for the Shulchan Aruch, so he tells you that's where this halacha is coming from. This halacha is coming from Sefer Chassidim. So this is a great example. Why did the Shulchan Aruch decide to add this in? Once it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that's it, it's halacha. This maisa from the Sefer Chassidim. Be that as it may, we see here an extra hakpada not to talk during Magen Avos. Okay, last halacha in the section. Im hispalo shulchol. Below Hiskir Shal Shabbos, Oshlo Hispal Klal. If you davened a weekday davening on Shabbos, and you didn't mention Shabbos, but we already said, if you daven a weekday Shmon Esrei, but you just mention the word Shabbos, you're Yotze. If you did that, or for whatever reason you didn't daven at all, Bishama Mishliach Tzibor Brachim Ein Sheva, Me Rosh Fiat Sof, Yatza. Interesting halacha. If you didn't daven, or you made a mistake in davening, I'll throw in another example. Let's say Mashiv HaRuach. Let's say you left out Mashiv HaRuach. You made a mistake with Mashiv HaRuach. So you have to say Shmon Esrei again. So if you do such a thing, and instead of davening, you listen to the Magen Avos, the whole thing from the beginning, meaning not just the Magen Avos, the Baruch Atah Hashem, the beginning of the Baracha, all the way to the end, if you do that, so then you're going to be Yotze, your Chiyuv of Shmona Esrei. That's what's brought down here in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says the only reason this works is because Marav is a Rishus. So therefore, we're going to be Makel to allow you to fulfill your obligation through the Chazan. It's a great Mayer Makom, this Mishnah Berurah, because we know this discussion about Marav being a Rishus. There's a Machlokas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer, whether Marav is a Rishus or whether it's a Chova. And we end up paskening that it's a Rishus, but Klal Yisrael has already accepted upon themselves as a Chova. So the million-dollar question is, okay, now that we've accepted it upon ourselves as a Chova, does it make a difference that its history was that it used to be a Rishus? Granted, it used to be a Rishus, but now it's a Chova. So does it make a difference? And the answer is yes, there are certain areas of Halacha where it makes a difference, and this is one of them. That generally we don't want you to be Yotzei. If you could daven on your own, we don't want you to be Yotzei with the Chazan's Shmon Esrei. But in this situation, you could be Yotzei Mariv. If you missed Shmon Esrei, you could be, or you need to repeat it because you didn't say Mashav Aruach, or you didn't mention Shabbos. So you could be Yotzei with the Magen Avos. Interestingly, the Mishnah Berurah also brings down, you know, I'm going to keep going because just in the interest of time. Okay, but the Mishnah Berurah does mention, if you look in Chaf Ches, L'chadchila, you should say it though, Mila B'Mila with the Chazan. L'chadchila, even though you're not saying a full Shmon Esrei, you're still getting off, if you're not a big davening fan, you're still getting off with a much shorter davening. You're not saying the whole davening. But you shouldn't just, even though in the Shulchan Aruch it sounds like you can do what? You can just listen and be Yotzei. But the Mishnah Berurah says that the best is for you to say it along with him. Say it word by word. Say it with the Chazan. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch adds, you should go through the whole process. You should take 3 steps back before you do it. When you're done, you should take 3 steps back. You turn that into your Shmona Esrei. Now, another application of this would be the Chazan himself. What if the Chazan himself made a mistake? What if the Chazan davened Mariv and realized he didn't say Mashav Aruach? So he has to say Shmona Esrei again. But he's the Chazan. It's a little embarrassing and he doesn't have time. So he's okay. He could just say Magen Avos, the whole bracha of Magen Avos, and he'll be Yotzei with that. Lemaisa, though, the Mishnah Berurah does suggest at the end of Chaf Ches that if you have time to say the Shmona Esrei again, you probably should, because this is a little bit of a discussion and a debate whether this works. So if you have time to say it again, so then you should. And the last point that we'll note is the Ber Halacha in Dibra Maschla Yatza. The Ber Halacha says this does not work for Yontiv. If it's Yontiv davening, let's say Friday night, Yontiv falls out on Shabbos. So which one Esrei do we say Friday night? We don't say the Shabbos one. We say the Yontiv one with the Shabbos additions. Let's say you messed up. You forgot to say Shmon Esrei. You spaced out. You missed the whole Shmon Esrei. Can you be Yotzei with the Magen Avos? The answer is that you will not be able to. Oh, no. If it's Yontiv. Wait a second. If it's Yontiv, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. Yeah, we still will say Magen Avos. But you won't be Yotzei because... You won't be Yotzei because there was no mention of Yontiv. Magen Avos, we already learned, there's no mention of Yontiv in Magen Avos. And you can't be Yotzei Yontiv Shmon Esrei without mentioning Yontiv in the Shmon Esrei. Okay, let's move on to Reish Samach Tes. Very interesting, short simon. One sif. Kiddush B'Beis HaKnesses. So this is a Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim on Daf Kuf Aleph tells us that there used to be a minog that they would say Kiddush in Shul. Now, it's part of a broader discussion there in the Gemara about Kiddush b'makom Suda. We know that we paskin, it's a machlokas Rab and Shmuel. We paskin like Shmuel in this situation, even though normally when it comes to Isser v'Heter, we paskin like Rav. By Momenus, we paskin like Shmuel. Shmuel is an expert in Momenus. He was from Naharda. Naharda was the center of Dine Momenus in Bavel. Rav is from Surah. And Rav, he was the expert in Isser v'Heter. We paskin like Rav. In this situation, though, we paskin like Shmuel. And Shmuel holds, Ein Kiddush el b'makom Suda. You can't be Yotzei Kiddush unless you're at the location of your Suda. A little bit of a machlokas. Maybe it means the opposite. Maybe it means you can't be Yotzei your Suda unless you first said Kiddush. We'll get, leaving that aside for right now, Kiddush needs to be done b'makom Suda. So that sparks a discussion. Well, then wait a second. How do we say Kiddush and Shul after davening Friday night? If you hold in Kiddush Elav Makom Suda, how come we're making Kiddush in Shul after davening? We're not eating our meal there. That Kiddush Lechora is not going to count. So Rav says, great, this is a great proof for me. I hold you can make Kiddush Shaloba Makom Suda. What's Shmuel going to do? So Gemara says that Shmuel says that the reason we make Kiddush and Shul are for all of the guests and the poor people. Sleep in the shul. Itself is a discussion. How can you sleep in a shul? You're not going to sleep in a shul. So Tosa says, oh, they slept in a side room. But for all the guests who would be sleeping in the shul complex, they would eat their meal in the shul complex. So this kiddush is for them. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Nowadays, and you can understand where this is going. Nowadays, where we don't have people sleeping in the shul, and we don't have people eating in the shul, so lechora, it should be a bracha levatala. We're making Kiddush in shul for nobody. all of the regular homeowners are not yotze with that because it's shloba makom suda. They're all going to go home and make kiddush when they get home. And there are no poor people that are sleeping in the shul and eating their meal in the shul. Okay, so that's the background. So the Shulchan Aruch tells us that lemaisa though, minag avosenu biyadenu, we make kiddush in shul. That's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. But, we'll read the Shulchan Aruch inside in a minute, but he advises against it. Why does he advise against it? Because it's true, we had a minag like that bizman ha-gemara, because back then the mitzias was that people slept in shul. Nowadays people don't sleep in shul, and therefore he is against doing it. And he says it's better not to, but for sure he says in Eretz Yisrael, the minag is not to do it. The minag is not to do it in Eretz Yisrael. And sure enough, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in Hay, Sifkat and Hay, the Mishnah Berurah, he says, Umabedino Seinu. Where was the Mishnah Berurah from? Radin. Where's Radin? Lithuania. So he's from Lithuania. He writes, in our communities, we do it. We make Kiddush and Shul. And he writes at the end of the piece, V'ein levato haminog. The Mishnah Berurah is for doing it. Don't be mevato the minog. And that's the reason why there are many shuls in Chutz Laretz. I know where I grew up, so I know at least one shul did it. One shul said Kiddush every night, every Friday night in shul. That is officially the minog of Chutz Laretz, says the Mishnah Berurah, to make Kiddush in shul. In Eretz Yisrael, the minog is not to. For sure, in Yerushalayim, the minog is not to. There's a little bit of debate about outside of Eretz Yisrael, outside of Yerushalayim. But Lamaisa, in Chutz Laretz, the minog, official minog is to make Kiddush. In Eretz Yisrael, the minog is not to. Shabsi, what they do in Manchester?
Where I'm from, they don't do it, but there is some Yekisha shuls that do it.
There are some Yekisha shuls that do it, uh-huh, okay. Anyone else brought up in a shul where they made Kiddush Friday night in shul? Yeah, Noam?
In the city, they did that.
In the city, they did that, okay. Ruvi also in Long Island?
Yeah, in Gizra of Woodmere does, yeah.
In Israel of Woodmere, interesting. Okay, anyone ever seen Eretz Yisrael them do it? No. Okay. All right, the interesting point here is, let's say you do make the Kiddush. What should you do? So the Shulchan Aruch advises, remember, the Shulchan Aruch tells us the minog is to do it. It says in Eretz Yisrael, the minog is not to. When the Chutz Laretz, the minog is. And the Mishnah Berurah supports that and says, yes, that is the minog and we should continue doing it. But Lemaisa, what should you, I see, okay, I got Baruch Yosef writes in also, and Cedarhurst also, they still do it. The question is, Lemaisa, what should you do in terms of drinking the wine? So the Shulchan Aruch says you should give it to a child. You shouldn't drink it yourself, the one making Kiddush. Why? Listen to this interesting cheshbon. Because Lemaisa, it's not b'makom suda. And if it's not b'makom suda, the Kiddush doesn't count. And if the Kiddush doesn't count, I'm eating before Kiddush. Funny thing. I'm trying to make Kiddush, but the Kiddush doesn't count because it's not b'makom suda. So if the Kiddush doesn't count, in the end, I'm drinking before making Kiddush because I haven't really made Kiddush yet. And therefore, he says in the Shulchan Aruch that it should be given to a child. The Mishnah Berurah gets into a little bit of a debate, what age child should it be given to? A little child? I think it's a little child in halacha. Little child doesn't really mean so much. So really it should be an older child. Someone who's already chinuch age, 6 years old, 7 years old. Someone can understand the concept of brachos. Now he quotes here from the Magen Avraham that, wait a second, but why are you allowed to give it to the kid? The kid's also not, he's chinuch age. He's also not supposed to eat before Kiddush. So how can you give it to him? You're not allowed to feed machalos asuros to a kid. Magen Avraham says it's not really machalos asuros. Machalos asuros means non-kosher food, something that's inherently usser. This is not inherently usser. This is inherently fine to drink. It's just that there happens to be a side isser that you're not allowed to eat before making Kiddush. So there's no problem to feed a child something where it's not inherently an isser. Okay, Lemaisa, what if there is no child? Then what should you do? You just made a bracha. Let's say you live in Lithuania or in Cedarhurst and you make Kiddush Friday night and there's no kid around. So now what should you do? If there's a kid who's 7 years old, 8 years old, give it to him. But if there isn't, what should you do? So here, very interesting. What might have been your reaction? Take a small sip. Smallest sip as possible. No, it's the opposite. You should drink a lot. Why? Because there's a shita, the shita of the Gaonim, I believe, there's a shita that drinking a large portion of wine is like a suda. Right? We say, Ein kiddush ela makom suda. So what's defined as a suda? So for sure, bread is a suda. There's a shita of the Gaonim that if you drink a revius of wine, that's also enough to be considered a suda. So if you're not going to have a child to give it to, you should make sure that you drink at least a revius, and that will be considered, at least according to the Gaonim, kiddush b'makom suda. Right? They say to drink one, molly lugmov for the actual kiyum of the kiddush, and then you drink another molly lugmov, which will that second one counts sort of as your suda, and then obviously you'll make an ala gefen at the end. So if we'll just take a look quickly at the Shulchan Aruch, let's read it inside. No again the kadesh for beis hakneses. The minog is to make kiddush in shul. The ein lemakadesh lito meyayin hakiddush ela matimo lekatan. The minog is that you don't drink it yourself; you give it to a katan. The ein kiddush ela makom suda, because you need a suda. Ume ikara lo niskan ela b'shvil orchem. And the whole reason they did this in the first place, because you might be saying, well, then wait a second. If there's no suda and I'm giving it to a katan anyway, so why do we do it b'chlal? So he says, Meikara lo niskan ela b'shvil orchem, who would eat and sleep, eat and drink in the Beis Knesses, in order to be motzei yidei chovasa. The achshav, af agav de lo ochli orchem Beis Knesses, even though there aren't orchem that are eating in the Beis Knesses, lo bat la takana, the takana sticks. Zeu atam hamikomo shenogu l'kaddish Beis Knesses. This is the reason for the minog of those places that make kiddush in Beis Knesses. Aval yoter tov lahanig shelo l'kaddish Beis Knesses. If you're asking me, it's better not to. And that is the minog in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I see we have one comment written in here. Actually, someone says that they were in a moshav for Shabbos, and they made kiddush in the shul, in the moshav. But half of the shul wasn't from No. So who wrote this in? What's your first name? I'm sorry, I don't know your first name.
Sorry, Tzvi.
Tzvi, okay. So Tzvi writes in that he was in a, I see he wrote it to everyone, but okay, I'll read it anyway to everyone, that they were in a, he was in a moshav, but a lot of the people in the moshav weren't from, so it could be that they were making the kiddush in order to be, all these people, they wouldn't necessarily have made kiddush when they went home. This was in order to be motzi everyone in the kiddush, and they gave it to a child to drink. I remember as a kid, the few times I used to daven in the shul where they made kiddush in the shul, so all the kids would line up, and they would have these little cups, and they would give all the kids from the kiddush. Okay, one more simon here. Ayin Reish, it's really Reish Ayin, but we don't like to say Ras, so we say Ayin Reish instead. And this is the din of Bamem Adlikin. Right, we know that the second parak of Sechah Shabbos, Mishnah also Bamem Adlikin, says so a minog to say it in shul. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. Noagin Lomar Parak Bamem Adlikin. It's a minog to say Bamem Adlikin. The Sfardim say it before Marif. That's the right way to do it. So what's the discussion here about when's the right place to do it? So in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells us that first of all, the whole reason we do it is because what does it talk about? Bamei Madlikin? How to light candles properly, what to say in your house before you start Shabbos, right? A Ravtem, a Sartem, the three things you're supposed to say in your house. So the Mishnah Berurah points out, it makes a lot of sense then that when should this be said? It should be said before Marv, meaning it should be said before your Makabel Shabbos. But the Aruch HaShulchan already notes that nowadays, Lemaisa, we all daven Marv, right before Marv, back then, they used to bring in Shabbos very early in the olden days. They would bring in Shabbos very early. I don't know if you remember, we read this Trumas Adesha. They would bring in Shabbos, and they would go for a walk on the Danube and get home, and it was still light out. They used to bring out Shabbos very early. Okay, so there would be a reason to say the Mishnayos. But nowadays, when you're saying those Mishnayos from Shul, it's probably already dark out. You already daven Mincha. And then you had your Karlbach Kabbalah Shabbos. And then the rabbi spoke for 25 minutes. And now it's very dark out. So what are you saying by Mem Adlikin about which wicks to use? It's my nafkamina. Your wife already lit an hour ago. The Aruch HaShulchan says that's the reason why many communities stopped saying Bamei Madlikin, and instead they say Kegavna. Kegavna, which is a section from the Zohar. So there are certain communities, certainly in Hasidic places, so they say that instead of saying Bamei Madlikin. But as you see, Bamei Madlikin, you know, some of the things that we don't take so seriously, some people, I shouldn't speak for you, but some of the things that not everybody takes so seriously, things we don't realize, it has its own siman in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a whole siman just dedicated to saying Bamei Madlikin. Okay, with the time that remains, I just want to get started on the next siman. This is going to be our last siman of this man. It's a little bit of a long siman, so it's going to take us 3 weeks or so. But I'd like to just jump into it because this is a very, very important siman, and I'd like to at least, you know, crack the binding on this siman. And this is Kiddush, the din of saying Kiddush. So the Gemara in Psachim on Kuf Vav and Aleph, the Gemara tells us that there is a mitzvah d'oraisa to say Kiddush, learned out from the pasuk of Zochor es Yom HaShabbos l'kodesho. A little bit of a debate between the Rambam and the Ramban, if it's learned out from the word Zochor, or if it's learned out from the word l'kodesho. Zochor es Yom HaShabbos l'kodesho. Is it from the first word, Zochor, or is it from l'kodesho? But be that as it may, that is a mitzvah d'oraisa. And as you see in Shulchan Aruch Aleph, in Sif Aleph, Kishiyovo lebeso, Yimaher lecho miyad. He says you should get started right away. And the Mishnah Berurah says, what does it mean to eat right away? Hainu lekadesh, to make Kiddush. To mitzvah the oraisa. You should try to do it as quickly as you can and as close to the beginning of Shabbos as you can. Let's assume for now, this is more of the Ramban's understanding than the Rambam's. But let's assume now, like the Ramban's understanding, that Kiddush is literally what it sounds like. You are being mekadesh Shabbos. Now, you're not really, because Shabbos already started 45 minutes ago. But the idea of Kiddush is proclaiming the Kedusha of Shabbos. It's announcing the Kedusha of Shabbos. Therefore, it makes sense to do it as quickly as possible, as close to the beginning and of Shabbos as you can. That's what the Shulchan Aruch tells us. Now, the Rambam, when he formulates the mitzvah of Kiddush, he says it's to be misaper b'shevach. It's to speak of Godel Hayom Uma'aloso. It's to speak about how great Shabbos is, how it's different, Hivdilo Mishar Hayomim, how it's different than the other days. Meaning, how does one say Kiddush? What is the Maisa Mitzvah? Is it just to take a cup of wine and say Brei Pri Hagafen? No, you have to say more than that. What do you have to say? You have to proclaim the uniqueness of Shabbos, uniqueness from the other days, the greatness of Shabbos. That is the mitzvah d'oraisa. And as is two different days in Tosfos, but most of the posts can assume that the mitzvah d'oraisa is only the verbal part of Kiddush. Saying it al kos yayin is a dirabanan. The rabbis instituted that it should be done over a kos of wine. Why? Because that gives chashivas to what you're saying. Think about it. When you get married, what do you need a kos for? You make a bracha on Erison. Why do we do it over a kos? Because it gives chashivos. Kiddush, it gives chashivos. When we want to do things that we have a bris, we do it over a kos. What do you need a bris for? At a bris, what do you need a kos? It's true. To dip the little gauze into something so you can stick it in the baby's mouth so he stops crying. So you need a cup of wine for that. But you don't need to do the whole process of the bris on a kos and make a Brei Pri Hagafen. The reason we do these things is it gives chashivos. That's the big debate. That's the Tosfos in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. Is that also what the Dalet Kosos are about? Are the Dalet Kosos just to give chashivas to the things that you're saying? Kiddush, Magid, Hallel. Do it on a kos. Makes it more chashiv. Or is there a special inyan of drinking on Pesach? Tcheirus. To sit back, have a cup of wine. It's an expression of Tcheirus. So that's a debate. The Briskarov has a famous piece about that. Might be a machlokas Rashi Tosfos. But in general, we assume that leaving Pesach on the side, when we have a kos, it's to give chashivas. And that's dirabanan. Midyoraisu, your yotzei kiddush, just by saying how great Shabbos is. But midrabanan, you need to do it ala kos. And this leads us to the famous chiddush of the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham writes, based on this idea that we just saw, that we just spoke out, the Magen Avraham is mechadesh, that when a person davens on Friday night in shul, he's already yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush, which is actually great, because then Kiddush is very close to the beginning of Shabbos. When you daven Friday night davening, and you say Vayechulu, even though it doesn't really mean Vayechulu, it's the bracha of Mekadesh HaShabbos, and you speak about Shabbos, so you are yotze your mitzvah d'oraisa of Kiddush. And when you get home, all you have left is a mitzvah d'rabbanan. All you have left is a mitzvah d'rabbanan, because you're already yotze in davening. Now the Minchas Chinuch attacks the Magen Avram for this. There are going to be a bunch of people who attack the Magen Avram for this Kiddush. But at least tonight, let's mention the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch attacks based on a Gemara. The Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis Psachim says, in order to be Yotze Kiddush, you need to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. And as you all know, in Friday night Kiddush, I often mispronounce it and my father corrects me. So we say in Friday night Kiddush, Zecher Litzias Mitzrayim. For years I said Li Yitzias Mitzrayim. My father properly corrected me that it's Litzias Mitzrayim, not Li Yitzias Mitzrayim. But anyway, we all know that we say Litzias Mitzrayim in Kiddush Friday night. Why do we mention Litzias Mitzrayim? I mean, we all know Shabbos is about Briyas Olam. Why are we mentioning Litzias Mitzrayim? Because we've spoken about this Nekudin Machshav already. But Lemaisa, that's a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says you're not Yotze Kiddush if you don't mention Litzias Mitzrayim. And the Rambam Paskins like that Gemara. So now it's, wait a second. How can the Magen Avraham tell me that I'm Yotze the Mitzvah D'oraisa by davening? Go look in davening and tell me if we mention Mitzrayim anywhere in the Friday night davening, in the Shmon Esrei. We don't. We don't mention Mitzrayim. So asks the Minchas Chinuch, how can the Magen Avraham say that you're Yotze the Mitzvah of Kiddush by saying the Shmon Esrei in davening? You didn't mention Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is necessary in order to be Yotze the Mitzvah. The Be'er Halacha here on the page, it's actually on the next page, it's this long piece, Miyad. The Be'er Halacha tries to defend the Magen Avraham. Maybe the Magen Avraham didn't mean the Shmon Esrei. Maybe he meant right before Shmon Esrei, because right before Shmon Esrei, what do we say? We say Vishamru. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we don't. But in many places, they say Vishamru, which mentions Shabbos. And right there, you also mention Yitzias Mitzrayim in the bracha after Kriya Shema. The bracha after Kriya Shema mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then you say Bishamru. So maybe that's when you're Yotze Kiddush. That's what Magen Avraham meant. But that's what he says, it's Dochak. Pashas the Magen Avraham, you're Yotze Kiddush by saying Shmon Esrei. Asks the Minchas Chinuch, but you didn't mention Yitzias Mitzrayim? So comes and defends the Be'er Halacha. Oh, maybe what the Magen Avraham meant was not you're Yotze when you say Shmon Esrei. You're Yotze right before Shmon Esrei, when you say MSV Amunah, which mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim, and then you go right into the Shamru, so boom, you just did it. Shabbos and Yitzias Mitzrayim are all mentioned, the Charamachta. Lemaisa, this is the sheet of the Magen Avraham. We're going to, Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll talk about, maybe I'll just mention very quickly, two other quick problems with the Magen Avraham. And next week, we'll talk about some practical ramifications of this Magen Avraham. So let's just mention two other issues with the Magen Avraham. Issue number one is we paskin that in order to be Yotze a mitzvah, you need to have kavana to be Yotze the mitzvah. You don't have to have all the deep kavanas of the mitzvah, but you have to have kavana watzeis. You have to have kavana to be Yotze the mitzvah. If you just are like walking around town and you pick up a lulav and an esrog and you're flipping them in your hand, no intention to be Yotze a mitzvah. You're not Yotze. You're only Yotze if you have kavanah to be Yotze a mitzvah. Very important. Before you do a mitzvah, you should have in mind that I want to be Yotze a mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah himself asks, in Mishnah Berurah Beis here, who's having kavanah when they're davening to be Yotze the mitzvah of Kiddush? Nobody's thinking about being Yotze Kiddush. Why are you automatically Yotze when you're davening? And number two, Chassam Sofer has a very interesting suggestion. The Chassam Sofer says, when Chazal came and made the requirement to do it on Yayin, maybe what they basically said was, we're uprooting the D'oraisa. The D'oraisa is just to say things. But we're saying, don't just say things. Do it on a cup. Doing it on a cup means we're ki'ilu uprooting the D'oraisa and saying that this is the way to be Mekayim the Mitzvah now. Okay, so these are some issues that are raised with the Chiddush of the Magen Avraham. And Mirtz Hashem, next week, we'll see at least four different very practical nafkamina. If we paskin like this Magen Avraham or not, it's going to have some very, very far-reaching ramifications. So Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up with that next week. Everyone should have a meaningful fast. If we do fast, if we fast, everyone should have a meaningful fast. And Mirtz Hashem, we will continue our learning next week. Everyone should be well.
Everyone mentions it, Rishim Rabbi Kiva Eger, no? I always heard of Rishim Rabbi Kiva Eger.
Rabbi Kiva Eger has a bigger chiddush. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, you're Yotze just by saying good Shabbos. If you say to someone...
According to the Magen Avraham, why not?
So, L'chora, the Rabbi Kiva Eger is a big chiddush because the whole idea of kiddush is to say how it's different than other days.
Good Shabbos. So, good morning.
So, I mean, exactly. You say good morning every morning. Saying something is good doesn't mean that it's different than every other day.
No, every morning, I say every morning is good morning. Now it's good Shabbos. It's different than...
But the Lashon of the Rambam is to be mazkir shvacho v'hivdilo mishar hayomim. So if you're going to tell me that you say Shemona Esrei, where we say chemdas yomim, and we say mekadesh haShabbos, yeah, that I understand. But just saying good Shabbos, take a look on your page there. Take a look in the Be'er Halacha, the very end of the big Be'er Halacha. He quotes this from Kiva Eger. It's, I don't know if you have a Mishnah Berurah in front of you there.
Yeah.
I closed my Sefer here already, but it's on page Mem Vav in the standard printing. Dibur Amaschil Itkash. Very end. Hinei ra'isi b'chidush Rabbi Kiva Eger. Shemistapik ulai yotzei mitzvah saseh b'amiras shabta tava bilvad. Ulapella.
Where
the Iskish
there is, yeah?
At the end. Very end of it. Hinei ra'isi. We're going to talk about this Rabbi Kiva Eger next week a little bit.
I've somehow got it underlined already in my Be'er Halacha.
There you go. Okay. Very good.
And also you said that ain't kiddush elab makom suda. It depends how you learn. If you're yotze kiddush, if you're not yotze the suda, does anyone learn that you're not yotze the suda? I mean, it means ain't kiddush elab makom suda means that you're not yotze the kiddush.
So I'll tell you, I personally, if I hear kiddush someplace, so then when I get home for my meal, I make kiddush again. Even if I heard kiddush already, let's say the kiddush where we sat and had kugel and I make kiddush again. Why?
If mizuinus and everything.
Even if I did everything, right? Why? Because I learned by Rav Schechter for a little bit of time, and Rav Schechter holds. I don't know if he holds this way. Mamish holds it like Li Kuva, but he always brought up. I think he quoted it from a Soloveitchik. This machlokas about whether it's the suda that needs the kiddush that needs the suda, and therefore he was machmir whenever there was a suda. Whenever he had a suda, he always made a kiddush again at the suda. I've seen it by a bunch of, if Chaim Ilson. I've seen it with Ilson.
The Gemara there, or whatever, Kuf Beis, whatever it is, it says Mefurosh in Rashi, Rashbam, there, it says that you're not Yotze Yidei Kiddush.
Take a look again in the Rashbam. The Rashbam brings two biurim to the din. So they're tole these two tzadim on those two biurim in the Rashbam. I think if you look in all the achronim, I think they all say it. I know Rav Schechter. I've heard him say it like lahalacha, like to say kiddush again.
And also, he said that the reason that by Bama Medlikin, that maybe Lefi the Trumas Adeshan that had a long time till it got dark after, maybe he would say it. But even Lefi him, he shouldn't be saying it because it doesn't make a difference. It's already brought in Shabbos at the same time. Even if it's earlier and it's not going to get dark for a while, but it's still Shabbos for him.
Right, but I guess there they would say Mincha before Plag. And then they would say, and the wife wouldn't necessarily light right away. So maybe he would say, I've been doing this recently just because we had a baby recently and because of Corona. Anyway, I've been davening Mincha early. And then somewhere around plog time, I'll say a little bit of Kabbalah Shabbos. And then I'll basically turn to everyone in my family and be like, okay, are we ready? Okay, good. Okay, it's Shabbos, light the candles, it's Shabbos, and then we eat, and then I've been davening Ma'ariv later. I've been catching the regular Ma'ariv Minyan later. So in a Hanami, in a situation like that, that would be, let me sit down and say, Bama Madlikin, make sure we're doing everything right, and then we can start. I don't know, maybe they did something like that.